That's my theater company.
Bonjour, Anine. Welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Cole Primo.
And I'm your other host, Leah Lem. Miigwech for joining us. Native Lights is at its core a place for Native folks to tell their stories. Every week, we have great conversations with wonderful guests from a bunch of different backgrounds, just a great mix of passions, of gifts. And we talk to them about those gifts and how they share them with their community. And it all centers around the big point of purpose in our lives. Cole, how's it going? Another day, another conversation.
No, I'm doing great, Leah. How you been? I'm just, you know, chilling. Actually, last night we made rhubarb pie for the first time from scratch. Went to the farmer's market in Minneapolis here and got some rhubarb. And I will say that when I say we, I say mostly Maria made it, but I helped. But it was really good, and I just wanted to bring that up. I know we had rhubarb in the back of our house. I would love just breaking off a piece and having it raw right there. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was interesting. I mean, I know people put sugar on it, but I think I was too lazy. I just just chomped into it. But yeah, how you been?
Yeah, pretty good. Still out east, hanging out. I don't know. Looking forward to the next couple months. See, we get so spoiled with whatever's happening in the moment or get so used to it that we always have something to look forward to.
That is true.
So, you know, I'm looking forward to, I don't know, my birthday's coming up. The Mille Lacs Tradish Powwow is coming up in a couple weeks. So, yeah, we're getting there. We're getting to state fair time.
Yeah.
But also, another thing I'm looking forward to is the next season of Reservation Dogs.
Bum, 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 bum.
Whoop, whoop. So, looking forward to seeing the crew back together. I know it's such awesome storytelling and having familiar faces on screen. It's so meaningful to have that representation and humor.
What I found interesting, I looked it up real quick, just some facts on season 3. Guess what the episode name is for the first episode of the season?
What, like Bussin? Hoa?
Bussin.
I learned that word. My kid taught me that
word. I still don't even know what that means. I know Marvin says it.
he used Marvin. It in reference to his mac and cheese. He said, this mac and cheese is bussin'. And he was that positive means, about cool. it. So I think okay. it means it's tasty.
Good. No cap.
That's bet. What I think. Well, it transitions perfectly to who we're going to talk to today. Rihanna Yazzie makes awesome creative plays and movies, and she's an actress herself, and she produces things. She's just this creative, this talent who works hard. Rihanna Yazzie is an enrolled member of the Navajo Nation. Rihanna grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and according to her mother, she's been telling stories since she was a child. And in 2009, Rihanna created New Native Theater, which produces, commissions, and devises authentic Native American stories for the stage. And she started New Native Theater to connect all the theaters in town, 100-plus theaters in town, and the large urban Native community in the Twin Cities. And she's achieved a lot. She's had many accolades and, of course, has inspired so many people. Both of us have participated in New Native Theater productions and events and stuff like that. And it's just this really fun and meaningful way to be involved. And you know, Rihanna is, as the head of one of the few native theater companies in the United States, she recognizes the importance of the new native theater company in helping herself and other natives creatively find their place in the world through classes and shows. And so we're also going to chat about an update.
Yate, I'm Rihanna Yazzi, and I am joining you from fabulous Farmington, New Mexico today. Yeah, I'm out here with my dad, so it's been really nice to spend time with him, and also had a mini family reunion with another part of my family I never met, so that was pretty cool yesterday.
What's on the top of your mind? Is there anything that you're just geeking out about that you want to get off your chest?
I've been following this writer's strike and SAG-AFTRA strike and thinking about the AI and, you know, the march of the machines, you know, that kind of thing.
Have you tried out the chat GPT?
No.
Have you looked at it?
I haven't. I'm a little afraid.
Can you tell the difference between something that's written by AI and something that's not? I'd imagine so.
Well, you know, it was an interesting conversation I was having with another writer friend of is that having like AI screenwriting might actually just be like, that's all we ever get. And it's just sort of dumbed down the kind of content we're ever able to access because it's not real people doing it anymore. And then we just sort of tolerate it, not knowing that it was better. Maybe it's also kind of like global warming where like, you know, our generation and the generation coming after is just going to be like, oh yeah, it's always 110 degrees. And we just like learn how to deal with it and tolerate it, but never knew like, oh yeah, but the sky used to be so blue and there were these beautiful bursts of rain and there were always these little flowers in the spring, but you don't have that anymore, but humans still sort of, you know, they're incredibly adaptable. So I don't know. That's one thing I think could happen. But I did also just see somebody put a writer put into a the GPT chat, what would be easier to replace, screenwriters or studio execs? And The AI says, well, it would be a lot easier to replace studio execs because the decision-making process is based on data analysis, risk assessment, and resource allocation, which are areas AI is particularly effective. But it says that it's not as good at replicating human creativity and emotion. So,
right. I feel like there's a lot of parallel there with, you know, like computer-generated voice. And things like that, how you can hear how there's just something off. But I actually used ChatGPT today.
Oh, for what?
Yes, this might be slightly interesting and slightly scary. But so now that I'm away from home and away from Minnesota, I don't have the same access to my therapist. So I asked ChatGPT today, what should I do to get motivated to do great work today? Today is a low day, but I need to get stuff done. And it came through. It said, I'm sorry to hear that you're feeling low today. Here are some suggestions. And then they came through with six solid suggestions. Break tasks into smaller steps, achievable goals, you know, seek support. And then I'm like, thank you. And then, you know, just kind of chatting back. And, you know, the book Eat the Frog.
I think so.
It's kind of it's the idea that you start with the most difficult task first so you can get it done and out of the way and you feel like motivated and like ready to do the next thing. And I go, the book Eat That Frog and its advice can be tough to follow sometimes. And then ChatGPT's like, starting with small tasks is a great approach. Eat That Frog by Brian Tracy is a popular book that emphasizes tackling the most challenging tasks first. While it can be beneficial, it's important to adapt the advice to your own circumstances and mental health. Remember, progress is what matters, and like a whole bunch of other stuff. And it's like, you've got this. That's AI.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today, we're speaking with Rihanna Yazzi, citizen of the Dene Nation. She's a playwright, and she empowers Native people to connect to their creativity in many ways.
Rihanna sent out some really cool opportunities with new Native theater, so I want to maybe touch base on what new Native theater is up to these days.
Yeah, I'd say the most exciting development has been that during this legislative session, we received some funding, and that is for that's to start pre-design on a theater space that we will be building at the Minneapolis American Indian Center site.
Whoa.
So that'll be part of their phase two redesign. So that's very exciting.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah. I know we have been like, you know, finding spaces as needed. That's so exciting to be able to have a home.
So this is the beginning of the process. So we're working with the architect who designed the redesign of the Indian Center, and Ojibwe architect. And so, he created a mock-up a few years ago before the pandemic that the Indian Center went in to get their legislative funding for, you know, so it was a part of this bigger plan. And now, they've started construction. I don't know if you guys have driven past it, but it's all blue right now. I guess the undercoating right now is blue, but it was kind of exciting to see how different it's changed. But then, you know, phase two in a couple of years will start with the building of this theater, which is going to take some time for us to figure out what exactly it needs to be and how it's going to be, all the details, you know.
Do you have a rough idea of what you want out of the space?
I would love to be able to have the kind of space where we could have an entire year of programming, right? So like maybe four to six plays a year, but also be office spaces, be able to rent out the theater to other performers, you know, have concerts, just the whole shebang. So it's going to be like a 200 seat theater, you know, so looking at dressing rooms and I guess it depends on how we use the space. If we build up, who knows, maybe even a carpenter shop. But, and it makes me think, like talking to the both of you, like, oh, maybe we need a recording studio in there too.
A little music venue.
Yeah.
That's so cool because it's needed and people want it. And I think with your vision and, you know, the community all together, it'll be a really cool, special spot.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw here that you are putting together a directing and producing for tribal communities opportunity to help their own areas build up capacity to do theater. Can you talk to us a bit about that?
Yeah, so we are going to be August 4th, 5th, and 6th are holding a workshop directing and producing for tribal communities where we will be like creating a toolbox. So folks will come to the weekend workshop and be able to like take away some ideas and thoughts about how to make community in their own tribal communities. Because, I mean, I think the most successful way to do theater in Indian country is that each community has the tools to make it so that the content can be super relevant to the community that's making it, right? And then we know that like theater and performing arts has so many powerful tools, just, you know, when an individual gets to take part in it. It raises self-esteem. It helps create understanding about how to be a better collaborator. You know, I've seen theater change people's lives in such positive ways, and, you know, from youth to elders. So it would be great to see lots of people take this class and take some tools back to their community to, you know, do some things. Because, I mean, what if there's like 572 federally recognized tribes right now? So imagine if we had 572 native theaters. That would be amazing.
Let's talk about your work as founder of New Native Theater. I know that's a big part of what you do, but you also do other projects. Is there anything you want to make sure we talk about?
Well, let's see. I have a feature film that is out in film festivals right now. And it's called A Winter Love. And just last weekend, I was at the Wingush Film Festival on Manitoulin Island, which was so beautiful there, first of all. And it was, it was such a wonderful film festival. And Winter Love won Best Feature Film and Best Actor.
Wow. Congratulations. Yeah, what a cool film. So for those who don't know, why don't you give us a bit of a summary?
Yes. So it is the story of a starving artist. And she is trying to make a go at trying to be a singer-songwriter, but feels like just Minnesota being a fish out of water is just too much. And the cold of the winter is just one more winter is just too much for her to go through, till she meets this younger Lakota man who's a law school dropout. And then they have this beautiful love affair that ends in a surprising way. And but it's sort of a romantic dramedy. It's kind of this quirky independent comedy about it's maybe not a comedy, it's definitely a dramedy. And it's been in many Indigenous film festivals all around the world. And it's lately been getting some pretty good recognition. So it won Best Feature in the Minnesota Film Festival a few months ago, and in the LA Skins Fest in Los Angeles where it premiered, it won Achievement in Directing. Mm. So very, very proud of this film.
Well, as producer, director, actress, and screenwriter, that's pretty good for you.
and the music, the original music is quite lovely, I would say.
Just adds a little pizzazz.
So Leah wrote the original music in the film. There's a song called Little Baby Unicorns. So there's two versions of it. The youth version and then the adult version, and everybody loves that. Everybody loves it, Leah. Thank you for writing.
That's so cool. I've actually gotten some notes through email and through, yeah, like LinkedIn, just like, hey, I saw your music or I heard your music. That's really awesome. So thank you for the opportunity, Rihanna.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today we're speaking with Rihanna Yazzie, citizen of the Dene Nation. She's a playwright, screenwriter, and she empowers Native people to connect to their creativity in many ways. Rihanna, I see that you have a wiki page.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're so famous. You have a wiki page, and it says, there's a quote from your wiki page that says, you've been telling stories since you were a child. Do you remember that? And do you remember what stories you used to tell?
Yes. It makes me think about third grade. Because in third grade, we used to do this thing called a squiggle. Like the teacher would make a random mark on each of our blank pieces of paper. And then from the random mark, you would like draw a picture from it. So it was called a squiggle. So you'd draw a picture and color it, and then you would have to write a story about it. And I love to do that. Oh, I love to do that. And my mom tells me, she's like, oh yeah, your teacher said that all the kids love to hear your stories. So, like, oh. So yeah, I remember it was really, really fun. So I think as long as I'm having fun telling stories, then I think it should be okay.
Mm-hmm. So these squiggles, you like made stories from those. And did you present that to the class? Is that what happened? It's basically.
Yeah. We would all sit down and we would read our stories to each other.
Do you remember being shy at all? Being a little bit.
Okay. When you say that, I think about the two of you, because one time when I was teaching youth at Anishinaabe Academy, I invited you both in. And I know Leah, you played violin, and then Cole, you played guitar. And I just remember and then you both sang. And I was just like, oh my God. And I asked you that same question. Like, I can't even form the question now, because it was like my question inside my head was, how did you do that? You were so confident, you know? And I was just my in shock. And like, you were just so good. You're just so good at your music.
I've always been shy, but if I got a guitar in front of me, it's a little bit like a shield. Like I know what I'm doing, you know? And if I'm playing a song, I know what I'm doing. But if I get off script, that's when I'm in open water and I don't know what's going on. That's why I'm like, I really, you know, appreciate what, you know, actors, you know, people doing, putting on plays, you know, if something goes awry, in the moment there, you have to figure out how to get out of it.
Yeah, and for me, I know I'll feel the emotion of being scared, but I just tell myself I'm excited, because it's apparently it's the same feeling. So if you just change your perspective to what you're feeling, then I don't know, you start to believe it. So I just tell myself I'm excited and there you go. And it also helps that I had to do improv, not comedy improv, but singing improv, improvisation when I was a student at Berklee College of Music. That just being forced to make mistakes in front of people over and over again, you get desensitized. So yeah. That helps.
Well, I have to say, when I sang your song at the end of the film, my character sings the Little Baby Unicorn song, the adult version, which I'm sure you would sing that crap out of.
Well, I would just want to say thank you very much. I appreciate that. And adult version just means sung by an adult, not 18 plus.
Well, by an adult. Oh, yes. Yes. Sung by an adult. Because the child version is sung by a child.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying. I remember because that, I love to sing. I love karaoke. It is I love it. I've always felt you're just a bad singer, Rihanna. You know, you're tone deaf, et cetera. Because when I was a kid, I actually was tone deaf up until eighth grade. And because I started to play guitar. And then I finally was able to start matching notes to what was coming out of my head and my ear. So I'm still super, super conscious about that. And so then I was thinking what? And, you know, and then that morning I learned the song the night before. And then that morning when I was supposed to sing it on camera with just me singing and just me playing guitar, I was thinking, why did you make this character a singer-songwriter? Why didn't you make her a painter?
Well, as we round out our conversation here, is there anything you want to make sure that we talk about? Anything else?
I don't know. I mean, I think that, yeah, I'm, you know, New Nave Theater's got this sort of new phase it's living in. And we've got full-time employees, which is a totally brand new thing. And in a few years, we'll have this theater space. And, you know, my hope for it is that, you know, it's a space that people in Minnesota, especially the Native community, can say, that's my theater company. You know, I think that's always been like my goal is that people in the community are like, claim it, like that's theirs, that's the space that they can learn, and then they can make things. You know, I'm just really proud of it, and always feel really good when new people from the community come in and learn about it or watch shows. And I'm just really excited about the company really getting this like solid sense of itself, like almost in a way it's like maturing. You know, it's hard to put an organization together, but if you think of it as like an arc over like a life, so it's like 16 years old now, so it's like, yeah, it's almost ready to go to college. It's getting it. It's like, you know, because I think sometimes we could put a lot of undue pressure on ourselves for like, oh, it should have been this, it could have been this, and if only I was better at this or that. But it's like, you know what? It's 16 years old. That's actually, that's like a kid is, that's like a, it's like a junior in high school. Still learned anything, but about to, you know, become an adult and live in its maturity. And, you know, best I can say is, as someone who started that theater company, is just like being a founder is kind of like being a parent. And you just sort of like live, go, be your full self, do your thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what I've been so proud of that. And, you know, I'm getting out in the world doing movies and TV and growing up myself.
So. Yeah. Yeah. That's so wonderful.
Yeah. It's just so exciting. I'm so glad that we're, you know, meeting you at this place right now, you know, on the cusp of, you know, building the theater. It's just a great moment, and congrats on all that. And I know you got a lot of work ahead of you, but it's great. Chimi Gwech, for your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, Rihanna Yazzie.
Yeah. Great to catch up with her again, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Rihanna Yazzie is the citizen of the Dene Nation. She's a playwright, and she empowers Native people to connect to their creativity in many ways. Just a force. So thank you so much, Rihanna. And of course, if you want to check out New Native Theater for all their offerings, you can go to their website at newnativetheater.org. You can see more about the directing and producing for tribal communities, or, you know, any events that they put on in the future.
Heck yeah. All right. Miigwech, Rihanna. I'm Cole Primo.
And I'm Leah Lem. Miigwech for listening.
Giga-wabamin.
Native Lights, Where Indigenous Voices Shine, is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
MnDOT is welcoming those who live, work, commute, and play along I-94 between Minneapolis and St. Paul to voice their opinions on the future of the roadway. Community members' feedback helped MnDOT develop its initial proposals for improvements along this segment of 994. Now, your feedback will help refine them. Shape the future by sharing your feedback on the alternatives. Search for Rethinking I-94. Let's talk transportation online.
When it comes to mental health, connecting with others can be a way forward. Whether you're struggling or know someone who struggles, see connection as a comfort, hope, and joy. Like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug. Together, we can find ways to create a path forward. For more information, visit mentalhealth.org.
Welcome to Counter Stories, a show by people of color, for people of color, and everyone else. I'm Hui Lee, owner of the Other Media Group, VP of Programming at Ampers, and Counter Stories producer.
I'm Anthony Galloway, senior partner at the Dendros Group and pastor of St. Mark AME Church in Duluth, Minnesota.
And I'm Don Eubanks, associate of Dendros Group and member of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe Indians.
Unfortunately, Luz Maria Frias cannot join us today, but we do have a special guest, and I'll have him introduce himself.
Andy Rodriguez, Parks and Recreation Director for the City of St. Paul. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you. So we invited Andy here today because he is a St. Paul boy who is now director of the Parks and Rec Department, which is exciting, right?
Central in the building.
Class of 2003, yes. Central High School. Yep.
And there is, you know, there was a conversation I was having online with some community folks about transforming some tennis courts into pickleball courts and how it felt like it was gentrification. It felt like it was happening to places, you know, in the city that folks of color felt we didn't need the pickleball courts, or it felt very inappropriate to try to take over the tennis courts where, you know, I don't know if this particular place has urban tennis, but I did urban tennis.